I'm on some janky part of Hancock Street with the guys of Crash Encore.
This is Brian. I play keys and sing background vocals.
Yep, I'm John Bishop, and I sing, and I play some guitar.
I'm Jason Harding. I play bass and background vocals as well.
I'm Christian, and I play drums.
I'm TJ. I play guitar. People looked as if she had a disease. I met a girl who walked the streets, whose heart was as sore as her feet. Lonely girl, sad as can be, barely standing on her feet. Lonely heart, filled with defeat, told me how she came to be beat. She said, oh, it's been so long, so long since I've been loved. It's been so long, it's been so long, oh, it's been so long.
So you guys recently played a sold-out show for the release of your new album, Volume 1.
Right.
How was that?
It was awesome. It was a really great show. It was sold out. It was a lot of fun. That's our second time selling out the Casbah, and it felt really good. It felt really good. I don't want to cuss, but I would. It's that good.
Yeah, so good.
And yeah, everyone dug it, and I dug it, and we looked really pretty. We had all of our suits on, tried looking good for everybody, and it was overall good.
Was
great.
It good?
It was great. It was great. It was better than good.
Amazing.
It was great.
It was good.
What did you think about it, Jason?
I thought it was amazing. I think we pulled off what we wanted to do and accomplished what we wanted to do that night and gave the crowd a great show and a high energy to promote the album, because that's what the album's all about.
Okay, so how did Crash Encore get started and how has it developed since then?
Well, it started at the studio. Me and John started writing some songs together. And or actually John came in and was working on some stuff, and we started collaborating a lot together.
Yeah, some acoustic songs, and yeah. About a couple, like a day into it, Brian decided that it'd be a good idea if we joined forces, and that was a brilliant idea. And we joined forces and came up with a lot of material and just kept recording it all, and eventually we had an album worth, if not more, and we just had to hone in on those and really focus on those and start recording them and getting all these guys together.
Yeah.
And slowly we got everybody in, and it took Tailgun had to break up for it to really come together. But we got two musicians from Tailgunner, which was huge.
Yeah, it's good playing with all our friends, you know, and being able to have everybody available at the same time and be able to play together and start rehearsing and bring the album to life, because it was only studio tracks at first, you know, so it was interesting to bring them into the live setting and everybody put their own little spin on it, you know. So that's kind of how it's progressed up to this point. Now we played 4 shows.
Yeah, something like that. Well, lots of acoustic shows. We did a lot of, like, practice acoustic shows. But we just started, like, filming a video, too, which should be really cool. With Acorn Productions, and they're good guys, awesome guys, Ali and Jeff, and they're still doing post-production.
The director of the video party really,
yeah, well,
really hard.
Well, they had worked, they were up in L.A. working on another video, and they worked like a 10-hour day, drove straight down to see us, got there right at 11, you know, just started drinking, hadn't eaten, just partied, and then, you know, it's like, and then they had to drive back the next day to finish it. Those guys are hardcore. Yeah, oh yeah, dude. I took them home. They slept at my house on my floor. Like, got up, like, gave them coffee. They're like, we gotta go. Fuck.
Oh, poor Ali.
So, anyway. Aww. So, yeah, he's a good guy. They're good guys, Jeff and Ali.
Hope the shoot went well on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
So, how did everybody get into music? And is there a particular song that sticks out in your memory as what might have influenced you to become musicians?
I started playing music. I guess I started playing piano when I was young. And it was the theme song from Animal Chin, the Paul Peralta movie, The Search for Animal Chin, that got me wanting to play piano. I think it went like this.
That's beautiful.
Bong. And then they went and searched for the half pipe. So that's actually a true story.
Here you go, John.
Oh, I was, just, you know, being a little ragamuffin boy, chilling out, causing trouble. My mom said, you're going to take guitar lessons, son. And I wasn't too excited about that. And she said, you're taking guitar lessons with your next door neighbor, Zach. So me and Zach would go to guitar lessons. And I did it for like 5 lessons. And I was pretty fed up of learning songs that I didn't even like. But I liked what I learned, and I just kept creating noise on the guitar until I figured out what sounded good to me. And then got into a band and furthered that thing. And sorry, I lost track of my everything right there. But yeah, the song that stuck out in my head wasn't really a single song, but my brother used to listen to the Beatles constantly, like when he would drop me off at school. And I would listen to the Beatles all the time, and Weezer too. But the Beatles was a huge influence for me growing up. And probably Paperback Writer sticks out in my head when I think back right now of what I was listening to. And that's a really good song. And just generally the Beatles, though. I don't know what song it would be. But yeah, that's my upbringing with music.
I guess what started me in music back, I just always liked the idea of performing and just the way different music, when I was a kid and the family would come over for even like Thanksgiving, used to put on Michael Jackson, like had the jacket and moonwalked and did all that stuff on the carpet for the family. But the thing that drew me to the bass that I can definitely remember is the first time I heard Ocean Sized on Jane's Addiction, Nothing Shocking. It starts out with that bass line, that boom, bam, boom, bam, boom, bam, and then it swells and everyone comes in. Right there, I was like, I think I want to try playing the bass, and that was that. And then got into punk rock bands, and then started listening to other stuff, and then here we are.
I started drumming when I was 9, I think. 9 or 10, and I come from a family of music, so, and artists, so it wasn't like that bizarre of a thing to start doing. And I don't know, I think it was kind of like the first thing I ever, since I started relatively young, I think it was kind of like the first thing I just kind of like clicked with me in life, where I was like, oh, I could maybe be good at this. Like, I don't know, I just, it was just fun. I didn't have any brothers to like beat up, so so I had to beat up drums instead. I think that's pretty much it. And as far as songs goes, that's a tough one, because I actually listen to a lot of crap, a lot of really bad music probably at that age. And then I think I just had some like wise cousins and stuff that were like, oh, check this out, this is Led Zeppelin, like, you know, this guy's a pretty good drummer, you know, stop listening to your sister's Pat Benatar records. I don't remember what the hell it was. Anyways, TJ?
I have a similar story to John, actually. Like when I was in elementary school, probably around 7 or 8, my mom did the same thing to me. She said, "You're taking guitar lessons once a week," and it was cool for a little while. But then I just didn't ever want to go. I just wanted to play with my friends after school. So I did it for a few years, and then when I was 13, I decided I was over it, and unless I got an electric guitar. And so I got an electric guitar that looked like Eddie Van Halen's. It was a piece of shit, $90 special with amp included. But I loved it, and I played it every day, and that was pretty much it. Like, the rest is history, I guess. Yeah. I've been in bands ever since.
You've been screwed ever since.
Yeah, that was pretty much the downfall. Once the electric got my hands, my life has never really rebounded. You know, it's just been this slowward, downward spiral.
But you've been really good at guitar.
Yeah, well, I'm all right. I have my moments. But no, I can't think of a specific song, but just rock and roll, you know, in general, I guess. Like, I don't know, I got into, like, Zeppelin and Hendrix kind of off the bat from, and then I just, I don't know, kind of went from there, and here I am.
A specific seems song like, is super hard to
yeah, it's been. It feels like I've just been doing this as long as I can remember, you know? Like, I played guitar since I was 8. Like, I just always had an instrument. I was like a band geek in high school. I played drums.
Do you remember what the first song you ever learned?
Beatles songs at first. I think the first electric guitar riff I learned was Iron Man.
Of course.
You know, just like everybody else, you know. Or Smoke on the Water, you know. I learned all those.
Well, with the release of Volume 1, I was just wondering, what's the most difficult part of trying to put together an album?
Really, the hardest part of the album was just finishing it and just calling it done and just being comfortable with letting everybody else hear it, and just however it stood, because, you know, everybody has a tendency to be a perfectionist and keep changing it around and, you know, screwing with the song. So we just try to whittle them down to their simplest, best form, and then just be done with it. So it took us a little while. How long do you think? maybe about a year from the innocent little acoustic songs to the full orchestrations that we have now.
Yeah.
And so this next one hopefully will be a lot quicker since we figured out how we like to do it. Maybe. It might have been a little more than that, but you know, it had to grow into what it is. But the hardest part was just calling it done, because writing the parts and playing with the songs and mixing, all that stuff is a lot of fun. So that wasn't hard.
Yeah, I think this is like something around that same thing. It's like you start recording and you have an idea of where you want the song to go. And then somewhere along the way, it's hard to say where you should stop messing with it, you know, because you think, okay, well, I've messed with it this long and it's changed to this. So if I keep doing it, it's going to change to something else. So it's just hard to have the head to say, okay, this is where it should stop. It's hard to know where that's supposed to be. And after a certain amount of time, you just have to say, okay, it's done, because we could work on this song for the rest of our lives. And that just can't happen. You gotta get to new songs once in a while. It would be the greatest song in the world by the end of it. It'd be the only song you'd ever done. That might be true. It might be terrible, but it might be good.
That's my opinion.
I think we chose a good place to stop, though.
Sure. Yeah,
you can definitely overwork a song, but I don't think we overworked these ones. I think these ones have a certain bit of simplicity and then a lot of complexity as well. So you get the best of both worlds. So somewhere in between, it's normal and extreme.
Difficulty simple.
It is difficultly simple. It's really good stuff.
It's complex in its simplicity.
Yes.
It is.
Is there a track off the album that you guys think best sums up what the band is about?
No, I don't think there's a single song that sums up what the philosophical ideas of the band is about, because each song is in its own idea. It's like that song portrays that certain idea or just a single thought. And it's elaborated on, but then each song has a different thought and a different theory. So there's no song that can really say this is what we represent, because even all of them in together, it doesn't represent what we are. Like, I don't think it ever will, because there's always some new thought and some new song that has to come out. And it's all momentarily. It's not like meant to stay forever as what we're supposed to be. It's just a momentary thought, and it's an elaboration of that. But so I can't really say which song I would say represents us. But the one I like the best, that I like the groove of, is So Long. I really like the groove of that. And I like the philosophy of it about caring about other people. And there's a lot of stuff about that, just saying that it's a pretty small world and there's a lot of stuff to think about within it. And you get overwhelmed with things that are not meaningful, and that's a problem. So lots of the lyrics are going to talk about, you know, just guidelines, I guess, for myself.
Songs are kind of a capture of a moment in a time, and I feel like that's what will continue to happen with the band. Like, each album's going to be a different kind of snapshot of what's going on in time, and it's not going to be a band that stays with one style. You know, it's not going to be like the Ramones, where we found something amazing and just did that only, you know.
Yeah, we're gonna
it's going to be,
well, you know. Like Queen, where we go through our disco phase?
Yeah, it'll be like Queen, exactly, but I think it'll be okay, and I think that we'll just try to keep a certain level of quality control for the people who like our music and try to keep everything up to a certain level of unbadness.
Honestly, I think that's probably what's coolest about being in this band. You want me to hold that? Is that everybody in the band is, for the first time, I don't think I've ever been in a band where you always seem to have one guy in the band. And I've been in a lot of bands. I don't know if that's a good thing. It's probably not. But there's always one guy in the band that you're like, he's the thumb, or he's like he's the subpar
the
musician.
Appendage. He's the appendix.
He's the appendix.
He's there, but he has no purpose.
He's the tailbone, like, or something. Yeah, like
you know, there's always one guy that you need to have as a player, but he's not really contributing anything in this situation. There's no one in the level. Yeah, there's no one in this band that's A, not cool to like hang out with. Me and TJ have been in a bunch of bands, so we've had some of that in the past.
Yeah, we've known each other for a while.
And then at the same time, everybody's like a really, really phenomenal musician and plays their role like really well. So everybody's, although we're playing like more of a, I don't want to say poppy style, I don't even know how to describe it, but the musicianship's good. And everybody's trying to catch up with each other, which is awesome. We all push each other.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So I forget. Is this part of? Do we get off? What was the question? But I was just gonna say. I was just gonna add on to that. You know, that yeah. It's nice to be in a band where everybody's like actually enjoy everybody's company. You know, so yeah. Just like you know, there's always that one guy. It's nice to be in a band with a singer who's actually like nice. You know, like he's actually a nice guy. You know, and like has his shit together. You know, like. For the most part, you know, he's got his shit together, you know. But, you know, it's like, you know, he shows up to practice, you know, he's sober, you know, he's awake, he's coherent, you know, that's like it's been a long time, you know, it's a nice change to like have guys you can rely on, guys you like hanging out with, guys you respect as musicians, you know. It's like, it's awesome. I love it. It feels like first time, you know. Everyone's like, I'd hang out with those guys on a Saturday night just because they're good guys. I enjoy their company. It's not like, yeah, there's that one dude. You're like, oh, if I wasn't in a band with this guy, I wouldn't even hang out with him. He's a fucking douche, you know? Yeah. But he sings great and chicks dig him, so I don't know, that's cool. Nah, I mean, I'm kidding, but kind of, not totally, you know. Anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to add that in there.
Okay, so if Crash Encore were to originate in a different time period, which would it be and why?
Wow.
The 60s, probably, maybe?
If it would originate like in a different time.
Well, yeah, like 1860.
Well, if you kind of think of the vibe that I guess that we're kind of like into at the moment, like
style-wise or... No, I don't know. I'm probably not the best guy to answer this question, but...
Well, say what you want, man.
Yeah. I think that I would have to say... I feel like we're like 1900. I'm going to say 1910.
Prohibition.
No, prior to prohibition, though.
Right before shit
I just have to
down.
Say that because I would not want to be around during prohibition.
No.
Trying to rock out. That would suck.
Is it what time we want to be around or what time
we feel? Yeah, I'd say 2007.
I like a lot of classical music, so I think it'd be cool to be a composer. And I feel like when I'm writing, like it's like you can take anything out of nowhere and make something, you know, make something out of nothing, because that's what music is, you know. There's nothing there, nothing tangible. So you just like, I feel like kind of like a composer, you know, it's just like some kooky guy who's locked up in his room listening to the vibrations in the floorboard or something like that. And I like that. It's like, that's like nostalgic for me, you know, it's like a romantic thought. But so I would put myself sometime like in like Beethoven's era or something like that, because I really like that ideal of like, the way they were and the way that they respected music and that and the way they planned it out and the orchestration and the layers and everything, because I like that side of music where you can layer and create this huge thing, as opposed to I also like simplicity also, but I would put myself there sometime in like the 17th century, 18th century, something like that.
People smelled really bad.
People did smell, so I think I'd fit in quite well. I'm with them. I like that.
You like sticky armpits?
I don't smell. I take showers 3 times a day at least. So so it's not me.
Three times a day, huh? Three times a bad day. I beg to differ.
I always thought it would be cool to be a rock band in the 70s, but because it'll never be like that ever again.
Maybe. I don't know exactly what era it would be, but, you know, the people always like say, especially like a few years ago, it's not as bad now, but they're like, God, you know, they don't write songs like they used to. So however they used to write songs, that's where I'd want to be from. Whatever they're talking about, where they used to, like, hopefully that we're trying to write songs like they used to. You know, a song that...
The good old days.
Yeah, it's not just a stylistic
like
riff out of
too.
Nowhere.
I like the 60s. The philosophy of the 60s where it's like, you know, don't worry about what's on the radio. Like, I think Bob Dylan said that. Don't worry about what's on the radio. You just play what you want to play no matter what. And then and pursue that and do it well, you know. And I like that philosophy of saying like of the freedom of music, as opposed to like now it seems like you really got to fit into a certain category, and
it seems like in the past that there wasn't that categorism.
I think TV's to blame for that. I think MTV's to blame for that. I don't think that's why that could ever happen again, man. Yeah. Because there was a lot of ugly musicians in the 60s.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, but they were amazing. Yeah, you're right. Like, yeah. Jimi Hendrix was not attractive. And neither was freaking, well, a
Janis
lot of
Joplin.
Janis
Bob
Joplin
Dylan.
Was not attractive, but she was phenomenal. I don't think Janis Joplin could rise to the top anymore.
Yeah, ugly people make better music. That's why we're awesome.
That's why we fucking rock.
We're not good looking. Music.
Well, you know, my point is, like, you didn't have to have that component. All you had to do was be creative and a good songwriter and a good singer. Because you didn't have to
didn't
look
matter.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you've got to get all the good songwriting and the
good bling.
And you got to have that in there with
you need
bling
the bling.
The bling and the other stuff. The goodies. Safe in your head now. No one else around. You can have anything, everything you believe. Everybody needs a little holiday, a little time away. Everybody needs a little holiday, a little time away. No one needs to feel lonely. There's a place where
how do you guys feel about covered material, and is there an album or artist that you guys would like to cover?
I mean, I like, I wouldn't be opposed to it. It would take a little while to find a good song for us to do. I like covering it, but putting your own spin on it. Like, I like, you know, if I was ever going to play a cover song, I'd like to try to put our own, like, sound or vibe or spin to it instead of just trying to recreate it exactly how it was.
I think John would sound good singing Mellow Yellow. That'd be cool. I saw he'd sound good.
Are you being serious?
I don't know. I'm not that serious. Maybe a
T-Rex song, maybe?
A T-Rex would probably get into, yeah.
Something
Bowie.
Obscure that we can make
Cat
wrong,
Stevens.
Like.
I don't know. We're not opposed to covering songs, but we just haven't gone down that road yet. So we'll kind of see what that has to offer.
I think
so.
It would be hard for us to cover songs.
How do you feel about covering songs?
Oh, I don't know. I do know, actually. I think it's a waste of time, really, because in that time you learned their song, you could have written one of your own. And I've always had that idea that why play someone else's song when you can make up one of your own? And that's what I feel influence comes in, because if you want to play that song or you want to play like them, then you use them as an influence and you write a song geared toward that sound. And then you covered that song, but you didn't cover that exact song. And that's how I think of covering songs. If I want to cover a Beatles song, I'll just write one. And I'll just, like, put myself in their shoes or something like that. Yeah, something like that.
All right, so when you guys aren't playing music, what do you do in your free time?
I don't have free time, but I'm usually working on some other band's music or helping other people record, and always music involved, so... John.
That'd be a good time to plug the studio.
I got a lot of free time on my hands. I specialize in free time.
You sail?
I sail. I'm actually leaving tomorrow night to go sailing from San Diego to, not Los Angeles, to San Francisco. Going to pass Point Conception, which is terrifying hairy waters, 30-foot waves. It's going to be amazing. So I like to sail, and that's going to be fun. I hope I get back alive. If you're hearing this and I'm no longer here, then cherish this moment. And I like to ride around on my motorcycle and paint every once in a while, hang out with my friends. I don't know. I'm a weirdo. I just like to do anything. I'm spontaneous. Walk in the park, hang on my hammock. I don't know. I do lots of stuff.
I just work and go to school, and when I have time. Right now I'm not taking any classes because we were just coming out with the album. I don't know, hang out, just do my things, think about playing. It's like after a show, our great show the other night, now I'm just like, I just wanted to have a gig because I was like on such a high from it, and now I'm like coming down, so I need to play. I need to play again soon. I need another fix.
What do I do in my spare time?
Yeah.
Sleep. I try.
I don't have a lot of free time.
Just make something up. You're
I know. I kind of. Well, that. But see, I kind of am.
I skydive all the time.
I have, I'm into cliff diving, actually.
Cobras.
Cliff diving, lion taming, and. I don't fucking know. I ride around on my bike and crash. I tour. I honestly just do lots of music stuff. Like Brian, I'm an engineer and producer, so I'm busy. I love it. I hang out with my lady friends. Friend.
Oh, God.
Gonna edit that.
All of my lady friends. Pause for edit. Wait, everybody, silent. I love it. I hang out with my lady friend.
Friend. You got three to work with.
That's funny.
In my free time, I play my guitar, surf whenever I can, and look on eBay for stuff I don't need.
Okay, so what are you guys working on now, and what's coming up with Crash Encore? Is there going to be a Volume 2 coming out?
Well, this summer, hopefully, we'll go through the 20 songs that are pretty much ready to go for the next album, and we'll organize them, and maybe we'll get this video done. Yeah. And release our video and do a nice little show around that, and we'll go spread the seed a little bit, and Volume 2 will be ready in a year. But we'll probably release some new stuff on the MySpace and let people hear stuff and vote for their favorite song.
Yeah, there will be a Volume 2, and answer the question, absolutely, Volume 2. Volume 1 through 100 are just waiting to come. So we're going to have a full plethora of volumes. But I don't know if it's going to be called Volume 2. That's yet to be determined. We'll find out.
Okay, so do you guys have any slang terms that you overuse?
Slang? No. They're all used at perfect amount of times.
They're never overused.
They just use the perfect amount of times. I don't know. I say some weird words sometimes. That make me feel cool. I say, like, ragamuffin and, like, swashbuckler. I don't know, weird names.
Pirate terms.
Yeah, pirate terms. Yeah, I like to use, like, old terminology, things like that. Makes me feel like I'm sophisticated and from another time. But I don't know. Any new terms? I guess I say jerk a lot. If that's a slang word. I don't know.
Is fucking douchebag slang? No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not, because you say
well,
that a lot, yeah.
Only when I drive I say that, but the windows are up most of the time.
But he's from New York.
Yeah, I'm originally from New York, so I try to hide it, but it just comes out when I drive, I can't help it. But
in traffic.
Yeah, I mean, just... There's a lot. I don't want to get into it right now.
If there
I mean, I
so
could.
So many fucking douchebags around.
Yeah, you know.
Call people that.
Yeah. No shit. Hey, you know. Jesus.
Hey.
It's like.
Keep it clean.
All right, like,
come on.
Kids. Little kids. Hey, I'm from New York. You know, hey, what?
Little kids in New York say that.
Really do. That's what they teach them. It's the first word they learn how to spell.
Douchebag.
Fucking douchebag. That's good, Johnny.
Fucking douchebag.
Kept it between the lines and everything.
Okay, what's everyone's drink of choice?
Yeah. I prefer a nice glass of cold milk, vitamin D with some creamer in it. I love it.
Milk with creamer?
Yeah, I like to make it as thick as possible. I really love milk. You could probably try to jump on my arm and it wouldn't do anything. It's like made of steel now. Of all the years of drinking milk, I have a exoskeleton of steel. I should get sponsored by milk. So if anyone's listening out there that has a milk connection, go ahead and give me a call. I love it. But if I was to drink an alcoholic drink, it would be, I don't know. I like them all. I like wine. I do like wine. I'm a sissy. What do you like?
I too enjoy wine and beer and an espresso. So,
oh, coffee. Yeah, that's true.
That's what I like.
A Jameson and a Newcastle, and I'm set.
I'm a whiskey kind of a guy.
Love whiskey, Crown Royal. Beer, as if it's dark like motor oil, it's awesome. I love it. Red wine, coffee, and juice in the morning.
I drink water sometimes. I gotta say though, the Fiji water is freaking good. I think they put something addictive into that, and it's
nicotine in their water.
It's so expensive. I heard that too. I heard the nicotine occurs naturally in Fiji.
That's what happens.
Bubbles up from the underground. Fiji Springs with nicotine.
Nicotine Springs.
I don't have anything. I don't have anything.
Get the box.
Wow, that, and it's on tape too. I have nothing interesting to add because all my answers are incredibly cliche, so I'm gonna pass.
How do you guys feel about eyeliner?
It looks good on girls.
I think it looks
great on girls.
Too, I'm not gonna lie.
I've seen some guys who wore eyeliner, and I thought I was impressed. I don't know if it was in a good way, but it was impressive. Would I wear it? I don't know. Maybe if someone put it on me and I didn't know about it. You'd have to be a real tricky person to get that done, you know.
I'd wear it if
someone paid me a lot of money, I'd do it. But yeah, eyeliner's cool. Eyeliner's great. It's awesome.
You prefer not to wear it.
But yeah.
Nothing personally against eyeliner.
Yeah, no, it's
unless
great.
It was made by Third World.
Yeah, third world small children who are sweating blood. I don't like that.
They tested on bunny rabbits.
But yeah, it looks awesome on girls. I think every woman should wear eyeliner because it really accentuates their eyes and they look beautiful.
I like eyeliner.
You do?
Yeah,
see?
And like in certain instances, you know. Mm-hmm. Not always, sometimes. Yeah.
If you're on stage, if you're getting.
Yeah, you know, it's eyeliner, whatever, you know, who cares?
If you're on Broadway.
Yeah, you know.
I think the general question was, do we like it on men? And I think we completely skirted the answer.
Was that the general
the
question? I don't. Was, I know that was.
No, the
that
was how do you feel about eyeliner?
Yeah. How many? You're making shit up now.
No. How many dudes do we know that wear eyeliner on stage?
To trick you and see if you'd say that if you like wearing.
Trying
eyeliner.
Trying to fall into the trap.
Like yeah. Like see, I knew about that.
Like behind closed doors.
I wasn't tricked.
Well, you know, that wasn't part of the question whether or not I liked eyeliner behind closed doors. Because.
Oh, then in that case, I think we all love it.
I actually wear it.
Go ahead and read it.
Gosh.
I don't care. I love it.
All right. Do you guys have any final messages for your fans or someone who's listening to this?
I'd just like to thank everyone that came out to the Casbah the other night and was there with us for the CD release. It was awesome. It's one of the best shows I've ever played. You know, so it's in definitely the top bunch of shows for sure for my career. So it felt great to be there in a room full of people that were having a good time and there and. Great Bill, great bands.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening.
That's a good one. Hey, if you made it this far into this podcast,
yeah, if you're still listening,
you are amazing.
Yeah, call me, I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll pay you.
And thanks
don't
for
hold me to that though.
Thanks for those people that actually called the radio station when we were there and actually really liked our music. That was awesome to hear people call in while we were sitting there. Yeah, right. But yeah, you know, just thanks for digging it.